But it was amazing. I mean, it's the largest projects west of the Mississippi, and all these people are super poor, and a lot of the dads are in jail. They have, you know, lots of kids from different dads, and we just go hang out with them, and we help the Dream Center distribute food. I mean, well, yesterday was more school supplies, diapers, food, things like that, and then the kids played basketball with them, had a really aggressive game of basketball. And there was a team there from Massachusetts helping, some guys from North Hollywood that come every week and serve there. And it's just right there. You go right to Watts. Remember where that, in the big riots and all that, where the big incident happened at Central? Well, you turn off at Central, turn right on Imperial, and it's right there. But it's totally safe on a Saturday morning at 10. Most of the bad guys are asleep. Or, you know, just doing something different. And the Lord has always watched our back. I've been serving with these guys for about 20 years, off and on. We go two or three times a year. It's amazing. If you want to know more about it, go to dreamcenter.org. Also, there's a really neat thing going on at Anaheim Stadium this weekend called the Harvest Crusade. This is the 29th year that Greg Laurie's been doing it. We went last night. We saw guys doing Moto X backflips. Guy did a backflip, hanging on with one hand, got back on his motorcycle, and somehow they all lived. There was a youth night, so they had rap, and they had pop, and they had all kinds of really cool music. Tonight is Chris Tomlin, who wrote that song, How Great Is Our God, that we just sang. He's going to be there with Phil Wickham. If you've never been, it is amazing to be with 55,000 people all worshiping and just going, wow, I didn't know there was that many Christians in L.A., you know, right? You walk around and you feel like, where are the Christians? Well, if you want to see them tonight, it starts at 6, so you really have to get there around 3:30 to get the best seats. We got behind home plate up in the top because everybody rushes in to get the best seats. It's free. You pay $15 for parking. So I really recommend that. And if you know somebody that's really close to receiving the Lord and they're just not sure, take them in there and let them see all the believers. We took our neighbor last year and he was blown away. He's like, I had no idea that these people existed. You know what I'm saying? Because you just don't know in your normal everyday life, especially on the west side where there's much less churched people, right? So I recommend that tonight. If you have nothing else going on, or even if you do have something going on, cancel it and go, right? All right, so that starts at 6. Go to harvest.org for more information. SoCal, it's also streaming live on the web if you want to watch it. Okay, so last week we started a message in James 3 about wisdom. And I'd like to pray for God's wisdom before I start. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us wisdom to live. I pray, Father, that you will fill us with your Holy Spirit. Open our minds to understand your word, Lord, to receive it and apply it in our lives. And help me to divide it accurately and to teach it accurately. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week we talked a lot about, this is called wisdom from above or below. Okay, what kind of wisdom is this? And we looked at a lot of the wisdom that is from below. Today we're going to focus more on the wisdom that is from above, godly wisdom, in verses 17 and 18 of James chapter 3. So if you'll turn in your owner's manuals to James 3, we're going to start with verse 17. It's amazing what you can get out of one verse, right? So it says, but the wisdom from above is first pure. Let me back up to 15 just so that we can see the contrast. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. So that was the wisdom from below. Now, the wisdom from above. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. How's that for a list? And this is the wisdom test. Is this wisdom I should use in my life or not? So we have a criteria here that we can follow and look at it and see if it is. So the first point here on your notes, there's a lot of blanks there. I drew a lot of blanks last night, but then I finished. Okay, that's a joke. That was for you, Jim, in the back. All right, God's wisdom is pure. Okay, it says, if you'll look in Proverbs 19:8, I love this proverb, 19:8. Proverbs 19:8 says, he who gets wisdom loves his own soul. He who keeps understanding will find good. You know what's interesting is that Greg Laurie has had billboards up around Southern California for this crusade, and there's a picture of him holding a black book, and it doesn't even say Holy Bible on it. And in Fashion Island down in Newport Beach, they asked him to take that billboard down because people were offended by him holding a black book in this cool graphics, right? And, you know, then he gave him some new artwork to replace it, and they said, no, we're just not going to do it at all. So then it became news, and Fox News and CNN, all the news networks around the country asked him to come and talk about why they didn't want the billboards. So he actually got to promote the event more by being in the news than having the billboard. But he talked about last night how, you know, this is truth. This is where we're going to find truth. This is how we're going to learn how to live. And Bryant Deegan, Brian, right? An old Moto X guy, one of the first guys that did the back flips, he gave a testimony and talked about how he got a handlebar to the stomach and lost his spleen and his kidney, and he almost died. He gave his heart to Jesus. He's been serving ever since, and he discovered this manual in his life. He said, I found something to follow. We went online yesterday just out of curiosity on the way over there, and it said, according to what we found, 17% of Christians in America believe in this biblical worldview. So what does that say about Christians in America? 17% are willing to look at the Bible for face value. The rest are just going to church. Isn't that interesting? It's like, do we really trust this? Yes, you can. And we've talked about that before. Because God's wisdom is pure. It involves spiritual integrity. And a lot of people don't like that, obviously. And moral sincerity. We're in a country that is in the process of moral decay. And with much lack of integrity, right? So remember Mark Twain said, it's not the stuff in the Bible that I don't understand that bothers me. It's the stuff in the Bible that I do understand that bothers me, right? So some people don't want to read it because they don't want to actually face the truth of how their lives are going. But I found in my personal life that when I let go of the things that were bad for me and embraced the things that were good for me, that's when my life began. That's when I had found true freedom. Any genuine Christian will have this kind of heart motivation to do what's right, to have integrity, to have moral sincerity. And the wisdom from the Bible will actually help us be pure in what we do. Secondly, God's wisdom is peaceable. This is also a great verse in Proverbs 1:17. Okay. 1:17. Is that the right one? No, that's not the right part. God's wisdom is peaceable. It says in here, I put the wrong one, but it said the ways of wisdom are peace. The ways of wisdom are peace. Oh, chapter 3. Turn to Proverbs 3:17. It says right here, her ways are pleasant ways and all her paths are peace. When you have wisdom, you will have peace. You will be peace-loving. You'll be peace-promoting. A lot of people wear peace signs. I saw a young girl last night at the Harvest Crusade with her mother, and she had a peace sign on her shirt. And she thought, obviously, this is cool. A lot of people are wearing it again. It's come back from the 60s. But what she doesn't understand is the people that had that peace sign were trying to find peace apart from God. And it didn't work. Okay, it was more of a sign of hippies. True peace comes from God. What is the litmus test for this? You can see it immediately if there's peace. I find this out. I'm back in the classroom. I teach sixth grade. I was in my classroom this last week, and I can tell right away if my approach is good or not, if it's wise. Because I have all these new kids, you know, like 50-odd kids that I just met, and either I'm going to build a rapport with them or I'm not. You know, it's really important the way I handle these kids, because they're sixth graders, and they want to just go off and throw things and be crazy, right? So I have to come up with ways to keep them in their chairs, keep them on task, have them get up in their chairs and go do something, come back to their chairs without having chaos. And it takes much wisdom. Same thing at our house. We need wisdom running our home. We'll talk more about that. But if it's not peace, all of a sudden there'll be sudden chaos. It's like, wait a second, how's that working for me? You know, it's not working very well. I must be applying the wrong wisdom. If it's correct, you'll be praising God and thankful that you made the right choices and you said the right things. Oftentimes, it's what we say, isn't it? We looked at that in the beginning of James 3 as we looked at the discussion of the tongue. Because the tongue is so powerful. What we say comes out of our heart, and our heart is filled with the wisdom we've chosen to follow. So this leads to the third point about wisdom that's from above. God's wisdom is gentle. Gentle means sweet reasonableness, an ability to submit to mistreatment and difficulty with an attitude of kind, courteous, patient humility without any thought of hatred and revenge. You know, right now people are just hating on each other, right? All over the place, in the media and on social media, they're just trying to take each other down. Am I wrong? Right? There's a lot of that going on. God's wisdom will have us go around a different way, right? And find a different way to respond to that kind of thing. We need this every day. I need it as a teacher when kids disrespect me. We need it when we're driving on the freeway and we're cut off by somebody. We have a choice. How are we going to respond to that person? Are we going to use all five fingers or one, right? How are we going to respond to that person? We need wisdom in order to have peace on the freeway so we don't have road rage. I don't know if you heard about that horrible incident on the 5 the other day. Two guys had road rage. A guy got out with a baseball bat, took the guy out, and then the guy that hit him got run over. They both died. I mean, how'd that work? You know, there's another way. Besides that, obviously the guy was carrying a baseball bat in his car for a reason. He must have been looking for it, right? Do you carry a baseball bat in your car, Cameron? Okay. So, wherever we are being disrespected, wherever we are being mistreated, given the short end of the stick, we need God's wisdom to know how to respond, don't we? I was just looking online. I follow a website called Open Doors. And let's see. And there is this woman in Eritrea, which is by Ethiopia, and she was arrested in an illegal church in Eritrea. It's illegal to have home churches. She is a worship leader. She was arrested, put in jail recently. It's been a few years, and or maybe it's been like 1 year, the way the story went. And she was put in prison. She started singing, continuing to worship, because Paul and Silas in the book of Acts sang in their prison cell. She felt like, this is what God wants me to do in order to deal with being put in prison. I'm just going to keep singing. And they were so upset at her that they put her in a shipping container with a mentally ill woman for 10 months. And this woman pulled her hair out and attacked her for 10 months. And she just kept singing and worshiping. And God took care of her, and she's now out of the container and telling her story about how God took care of her. It's like, wow, that's crazy how she was committed to just doing what God wanted her to do. And her response, it was gentleness, even though she was being intensely persecuted. Did you know that's happening around the world right now? That we are so blessed right now to have an outdoor church? This will not happen in a big part of the world right now, have an outdoor church like this. So God's wisdom is pure, it's peaceful, it's gentle. And number four, God's wisdom is reasonable. It's willing to yield, it's obedient to God's standards. We need to be reasonable. God will help us if we just slow down, and I know this for myself, slow down and wait for His ideas. People, God wants to speak to us through our friends, through the Word of God. Sometimes a co-worker, sometimes even your spouse, right? I know that's hard to believe. But, you know, we need to just slow down and we need to just wait on God and not rush to a conclusion, because oftentimes we respond in an unreasonable fashion. So if we're being unreasonable, and I've done this as a dad, where you get caught up in the moment, you just want to do what you plan to do, even though it's unreasonable. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Seriously, come on. Mostly the men are raising their hands here, okay? And you know, this is what I want to do. I don't care, man. This is what I plan to do. But, you know, have you thought about, no. We'll talk about it later. Get in the car, right? And then we realize later, wow, I was being a little unreasonable. I'm so sorry. And we repent, get things right again. So if we slow down, God will speak to us. That's why it's good to read the book of Proverbs and have the Word of God in you. Number 5, God's wisdom is full of mercy. What does that mean? You're able to show concern for those that are in pain. And you're able to forgive easily. You know, you show concern for the homeless. You think of ways to help them. You show concern for people that are hurting. And you ask for God's wisdom. How can I help this person? My daughter Kate lately has been thinking, how can I help all these people standing around begging for money? Because I want to be like, you know, the Good Samaritan. You know, God is working in her heart. So, you know, they got an idea. Why don't we get $21 bills and just go driving out into an area and look for somebody to give $1 bills? I mean, it's just 20 bucks. And just say, Jesus loves you. You know, just ask for God's wisdom to show mercy. And we need to be able to forgive. I just heard two contrasting stories this week. One, a coworker of mine, she talked about her father just died on Wednesday, and her brother refused to forgive her father for things that he had done in their life. Refused. To the very end, he would not look at him on his deathbed. So his father cut him out of his will. You know, and I mean, how awful to not even be able to look at your father in the face and then, you know, lose out on a monetary blessing just because you're just unwilling to forgive. And then the flip side of that, I've been praying for a friend of mine who went through hard times, and his daughter wouldn't talk to him for 2 years. I can't imagine if Kate or Mary wouldn't talk to me for 2 years. And I kept telling him, let's just pray. Let's just pray. God's going to make a way. Let's just keep praying. And I was at Malibu on Friday, and I said, hey, good morning. And he looked at me, and he went, hey, Ross, look. And his daughter was with him surfing. It's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. After 2 years of prayer, he was so happy. And my kids said they took every wave. Like, she took the first one, he took the second one. Because they're both really good surfers. But the cool thing is that now they can be free. I mean, for a while, he couldn't even sleep in the same house. He made an agreement. When you're home, I'll go somewhere else. I'll give you that. That was the wisdom God gave him. It's okay. You can have the house with mom. I'll go stay somewhere else. When you go back to, you know, wherever you're going, I'll come home. That was the wisdom God showed him. And they were able to now walk in forgiveness. So wisdom is full of mercy, and it's able to forgive. Number 6, God's wisdom is full of good fruit. Okay? Galatians 6:9 says, let us not grow weary in doing what's right, because in due time, we're going to reap a whole bunch if we faint not. Galatians 6:9. Be patient. Wait on the Lord. Good things are going to happen. I love the story of Gideon in Judges 7 with the Midianites, because Gideon was chosen to go after the Midianites. And he was in the threshing floor and he looked at God and said, who, me? What you talking about? I'm not a warrior. I don't want to do that. And if you remember the story, he sets out a fleece to find out if it's really God asking him to do this. And he tells God to keep one thing dry one night and the next night and have that one have dew on it. He went through a series of fleeces saying, show me, God, that this is really you. So he, in fact, believed it was God. Then he said, God, oh, by the way, how are we going to do this? You know, I'm your man. Okay, I get that. But I have no experience. And you want me to go defeat all these people. So I need your wisdom, right? He said, okay, you got 22,000 men. Go to those 22,000 men and say, All right. Anybody scared to go to the Mennonites? Anybody kind of scared about going? So 12,000 of them raised their hand and said, okay, y'all go home. So right away, he got rid of all the scaredy cats, right? This is God's idea. So now he has 10,000 people. And he says, okay, now go tell them all to go drink some water. So they all went and drank water. And 9,700 of them went down and just started drinking water and washing their face like this. But only 300 of them went like this and drank water and looked while they drank. So those were his 300 mighty men, right? And that was God's wisdom, asking him to do that. So then he said, okay, now I got my 300 guys. What do I do next? So God said, okay, he sent a man to him that had a dream that gave him confidence, saying that I see you having victory in this camp. So God told him to go stand around the camp of all these men, thousands of men, and take torches and trumpets in three sections of 100. So when it was time, they all broke their pitchers or whatever it was, had the torches in it. So there was 300 lights, and they all blew, they had 300 trumpets. And there was such chaos in the camp from being surrounded by all these lights and all these trumpets. God had them all take the sword against each other, and they all killed each other. It's a bizarre battle. And the ones that didn't kill each other all ran for their lives. And eventually Gideon's men ran them down and got them as well. So Gideon went after God's wisdom in order to be victorious. And at this time in the Old Testament, if you're wondering why there's such bloodbaths, it was to protect God's seed, because he had already planned that Jesus would come from the house of David. And so we needed to continue to keep the Israelites alive so that from the house of David would come Jesus eventually, so that he could die for our sins at the cross. And by his shedding of his blood, we would have salvation. So this is a critical battle. And God knew that these other guys had already had turned their hearts against him anyway. The judgment was upon them to begin with, the Midianites. So if you want to read more about that, that's in Judges 7. So God's wisdom is full of good fruit. The good fruit here was they succeeded in battle. God's going to help you in your personal lives as you ask him for wisdom to have good fruit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. If these things are evident in your life, then you're going to be winsome. You're going to be able to talk to people about Jesus. You're going to be a good example. You're going to have people wanting to come with you to church. They're going to want to come to your house and just hang out and hear you talk. Like, where are you getting these ideas from? Why you have so much peace? Why are your eyes so gentle and soft and safe feeling? Like when Kate was with the little girl yesterday at Nickerson Gardens, she recognized something in Kate. It's good fruit. It comes from God's wisdom. Number 7, God's wisdom is unwavering. This means impartial. Unwavering is impartial. It's undivided in commitment and conviction. It does not make unfair distinctions like we can do with our kids. Lord help us, right? I want to treat all my 4 children the same, right? Even though they have different abilities and different strengths, I want to fairly apply everything to them. I need to do that in my classroom or I'll be busted right away. 6th grade kids, they're like have a little honing, a little meter, checking for unfairness. You know, they're like have a little dial, beep, 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 checking for unfairness. As soon as you're unfair, man, they'll nail you. And you can lose your kids for the whole year. So I have to make sure that I'm not unfair in my distinctions. Now, there's a great story in 1 Kings 3 about Solomon. Solomon was asked by God, you can have anything, he was told by God, you can have anything you want. What do you want? Anything. He said, I would like wisdom. And God said, because you asked for the right thing, I will not only give you wisdom, I'll also give you riches. How's that? Because now he knows what to do with his riches. Think about that. Now, if you read the end of the story about Solomon, he didn't always apply his own wisdom because he had like 300 concubines. I don't need 300 wives. One is enough. Okay? I'm sorry. Okay? But he did have the wisdom, right, in the beginning, and he wrote the book of Proverbs. He then wrote the book of Ecclesiastes afterwards about his shortcomings. And at the end of Ecclesiastes, he says, one thing I say to you, fear God and obey his commandments. as something I missed, by the way, right? So listen to what he says. It was all good. Now, in this one situation in 1 Kings, I love this story. If you'll turn to 1 Kings 3. 1 Kings 3, verse 16. So Solomon wisely judges. This is great. Says, two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. The one woman said, "Oh, my lord, this woman and I live in the same house, and I gave birth to a child while she was in the house. It happened on the third day that after I gave birth, that this woman also gave birth to a child, and we were together. There was no stranger with us in the house, only the two of us in the house. This woman's son died in the night because she lay on it. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from beside me while your maidservant slept and laid him in her bosom and laid her dead son in my bosom. When I rose in the morning to nurse my son, behold, he was dead. But when I looked at him carefully in the morning, behold, he was not my son, whom I had born." Then the other woman said, "No, for the living one is my son, and the dead one is your son." You see the problem here? They don't know who the father was, right? But the first woman said, "No, for the dead one is your son, and the living one is my son." Thus they spoke before the king. Then the king says, the one says, "This is my son who is living, and your son is the dead one." The other one says, "No, for your son is a dead one, and my son is a living one." The king said, "Get me a sword." So they brought a sword before the king. This is great. The king said, "Divide the living child in two and give half to the one and half to the other." Right? We'll be fair here. Each of you all get half a baby. Then the woman whose child was a living one spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son, and said, "Oh, my lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him." But the other said, "He shall be neither mine nor yours. Divide him." Wow, what a wretch. Then the king said, "Give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother." When all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had handed down, they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. Isn't that great? That's the kind of wisdom we need to pray for, right? That got right to it. So God's wisdom is unwavering. Next, the eighth point, God's wisdom is without hypocrisy. In other words, it is sincere. It's not pretended. We need to apply honest wisdom. We need to live what we say, at least attempt to live everything we say. We need to be sincere. And wisdom applied will be sincere. It will be honest. We will not have to make stories up. We'll be able to be sincere. Okay, so is that a pretty good litmus test already? Okay, well, let's go to verse 18 to finish this part about wisdom from above. It says in verse 18, "And the seed whose fruit is righteousness," remember we're good fruit, "the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So, point number 9, God's wisdom is sown in peace. It says in Matthew 5, 9, in the Beatitudes from the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 9 reads, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Discord that comes from worldly wisdom cannot bring peace. Fruits of righteousness, in other words, right relationships with each other and right relationships with God, that's righteousness. The fruits of those things are good works that result in salvation. Peace is the result of these good works. You know, I just noticed I have a prayer diary that I have that I use, and there's a story on Uruguay this year, and Uruguay has been aggressively removing God from their country since 1906. They made a decision as a country to remove the mention of God from every part of their life. Every part of their life. School books, history, public square, everywhere. And initially it was largely Jewish immigrants and lots of Catholics. But they've been very aggressive about this to the point that if you believe in spiritual things, you're ostracized and looked at as strange in their country. Do you know what the fruit of that is? They had the highest suicide rate in Latin America and an epidemic in depression because they have no hope. They have no purpose. They just see themselves as this thing that came about on earth and it's just accidental and then it goes back dust to dust and that's it. How exciting is that? Right? I've said this so many times, I love it. The two greatest days of our life is the day we're born and the day we find out why. And if you don't know why you're here, what are you going to do? Just going through the motions every day. That could be very depressing. So the opposite of that is if you trust the Lord and His wisdom, you're going to have peace in your heart. You're going to be able to relax. Last night, Greg Laurie talked about the high suicide rate in America. We are pushing God out of our public square. Look what they did at Fashion Island. Our suicide rate has gone up 25% in 1 year. 25%. If 17% of Christians actually believe in the Bible, that's very telling. Right? If we apply God's wisdom, we have peace in our heart. We're not going to want to kill ourselves. I've been around a lot of suicide. I've had a dear friend commit suicide right after he hung up the phone on me. People don't have peace. They don't know where to go. And he said last night in his message at Angel Stadium that people are empty because they have no God. They are guilty and they are lonely and they have no peace. And that's a hard way to live. And that would make me want to drink a lot and smoke a lot of pot. I'm sorry. Because, you know, eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. Right? I mean, seriously, that's why people are out there partying so hard. Because they're trying to fill that emptiness. And for guys, it's the three big G's. Gold, gals, and glory. Gold, gals, and glory. The three big things for us men. That's how you ladies can pray for us. So we won't seek the gold, the gals, or the glory. And ask God to provide what we need in those categories and give Him the glory. Amen? So God's wisdom is sown in peace. Now, number 10 in your notes, all of these characteristics of wisdom are embodied in Christ Himself. This is God that we're talking about. He is this very thing. You can look at 1 Samuel later. It talks about how David had God's wisdom. Okay? Well, we know one thing, that all these things that we just mentioned, look at this list. We can say this about God. God is pure. God is peaceable. God is gentle. God is reasonable. God is full of mercy. God provides good fruit. God is unwavering. He is not a hypocrite. He has no hypocrisy. He is impartial. He is a peaceful God. All these things are embodied in Him. We know that true wisdom is from God alone. If you look at 1 Corinthians 23 through 31, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23 through 31. This is great about wisdom. We preach Christ crucified, to Jews a stumbling block, to Gentiles foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. By the way, I've never met anybody who is not called by God that wishes they were. If you want God, then you're called by God. God knows that you want Him. It's really interesting. We can go into that later. But the called by God, know that it's the wisdom of God. Verse 24, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. In other words, God's wisdom is greater than the world's wisdom. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised, God has chosen the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you're in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God. Christ himself is wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him boast in the Lord. All the wisdom is from God. God is wise. Wisdom was there in the beginning. It is the eternal attribute of God. If you look at Proverbs 8 through 9, I can't read the whole thing right now, but that whole section is about wisdom. That whole section, Proverbs 8 through 9, and it speaks using personification as wisdom is a living thing. But it talks about the commendation of wisdom. It starts off, does not wisdom call and understanding lift her voice on top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet? She takes her stand beside the gates at the opening of the city, at the entrance of the door. She cries out, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal right things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the utterances of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing crooked or perverted in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. And it goes on. It's beautiful. This is great for an English class, just to teach beautiful writing. So, wisdom was there in the beginning. It's an eternal attribute of God. He formed, if we keep reading, you'll see that he actually formed this earth and all the heavens by his wisdom. It was there in the beginning. It is eternal. It's an eternal attribute of God. Everything was made by his wisdom. Look at Psalm 104:24. By the way, I have y'all look at these, because when you read it, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So if you look at it, it'll help build your faith. Psalm 104:24. O Lord, how many are your works? In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. Amen. And then Proverbs 3:19 and 20. I think that might be what I read earlier. Yeah, Proverbs 3:19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the deeps were broken up. That talks about seafloor spreading. By the way, I'm a geology student. The Mid-Atlantic Ridge. And the skies drip with dew. He was there in the beginning, and the wisdom of the Lord created it all. So my next question for you is, what is the fruit of the wisdom you're using in your life? How is it working for you? Are you using heavenly wisdom? Reading the book of Proverbs is a great place to start. Right in the middle of the Bible, there's 31 chapters, one chapter a day. We'll take care of it. I just got through going to a juvenile hall on Thursday night, and I went to one unit, and nobody wanted to do Bible study. They're all playing checkers and different games. Went to another unit. They're watching a movie. Nobody wanted to do Bible study. So I went outside of that unit, and I told one of the guards, I said, you know what? I think the Lord must have me going somewhere else tonight. So I went back to the chaplain. I said, where can I go? I said, how about B? Because I know all the young kids are there. So I went to B, and there was one boy, a 14-year-old named Brian Ramos. And he was a member of the Lunatics clique in the Brown Pride gang in South Central LA, where there's a lot of black on brown gang violence over off where Florence Trece is. It's a big gang over there. And I looked at him, and he was a Christian who had asked Jesus to come into his heart, willing to follow him as a kid. But just like so many kids in the inner city, they go outside when they're teenagers and everybody's gangbanging and doing bad things. And it's so hard not to get involved in trouble. And so he had He was in jail for making a threat. He'd already served 10 months. And then he was on house arrest, and he got bored after a year, and he went out, and he got arrested again. And I talked to him about Jesus, and I said, listen, you can only be down for one. Are you all in for your neighborhood? Of course you are, or else you're dead. You can't be for two neighborhoods. Well, Jesus said, if you're all in for him, he looks to and fro throughout the earth to strongly support those whose heart is fully for him. Do you want that kind of support? Of course. I told him, I've been all over the place around the world preaching the gospel. I lived down in the neighborhood working with gangs. God has always been there with me because I put him first. He's always had my back. I even had to have a gang member punch out another gang member to protect me one time. It wasn't my choice. That's something God led them to do. You know, God will have our back if we're for him. And I looked at Brian. I said, you need wisdom. You need wisdom to get out of the gang. You need to read Proverbs every day. This was on the 16th. I said, start with Proverbs 16. And I said, listen, we need a plan because you're going to get released. You're going to go back home and those guys are going to call you and they're going to say, let's roll. What are you going to do? And what would you do? He said, but if I try to get out of the gang, they'll kill me. This is not like some fun club in a fort. No, they will kill him. And he's about to join the gangster devils or something like that. I said, well, let's not join the gangster devils. Just stay with the lunatics right now. And I said, well, how about this? This is the Lord's showing me this. Why don't you go to the leader by himself, not in front of the other guys, and say, I was in LP, Los Padrinos, and I met with a pastor, and I want to follow God. I don't want to be disrespectful to you guys, but I want to follow God. Can you help me? I don't want to be with another gang. I told him, you can be with JCPG, Jesus Christ Prayer Gangsters. I'm not 13, I'm not 14, I'm 26, home. I said, the whole alphabet, I got worldwide backup. I don't fight with weapons of this world. I fight with weapons of divine power that demolishes strongholds, man. Rifa Jesus, right? I said, get into my gang if you want to get into a gang, but you need to be gentle and respectful with your leader, right? And then go to church and find an OG, find a gang member that used to gangbang but is now in church and ask him to help you walk through this. But the best thing is to lay low and stay out of trouble. I know three guys that got out of the gangs and where I worked in Harbor City. Well, actually, there was different ways. They either died, they went to Mexico, they went to prison, or they went to the army. That works. Or they just stay in their house and never leave. That was pretty much how you get out of the gang. Because they told me, you know, one guy they tied to the back of a bumper of a car and drug him when he wanted to get out of the gang. I mean, it's hard to get out of a gang. You got to pray for these guys. These are the guys that I knew that did this, right? So Brian needs, pray for him. He needs wisdom right now. He needs wisdom from God. So we look in Proverbs 15, 1 through 2, it says, you know, a gentle answer turns away wrath. That's a great place to start. Whoever you're talking to, a gentle answer turns away wrath, right? And then just read the Bible every day in general. Get your vitamin J every day to keep the devil away. Your vitamin Jesus. It's your owner's manual. You got to get it in you. It's not just going to happen. Colossians 4, 4 through 6, if you'll turn there. Colossians 4, 4 through 6 says, pray that I will make it clear in the way I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of the opportunity. Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you should respond to each person. The next thing we need to know is how to respond to people, and that's what I'm asking Brian to do, and to speak gently. And then also this book of James, which is basically the Proverbs of the New Testament, is full of pithy statements, succinct statements about how to live. So we need wisdom every day, constantly. I needed it yesterday going to the crusade because I chose to try to find the way to Anaheim Stadium when I was in the fast lane and it made my wife nervous. So next time I'm going to get my map app ready in my driveway so that I have more peace in my car. I mean, just simple stuff like that, right? How many know what I'm talking about, right? trying to drive. Oh, yeah, where is that? You know, hey, Siri, take me to you. Whoa, you know. So, I mean, just simple things. We need wisdom around the house, too. Like when you misplace something. Anybody ever lose their keys? Okay, we need wisdom just to find that. It's amazing how many times God will say, have you looked over there? Oh, of course. Right? He wants to help us with that. Right? He wants to help us with dividing up the chores. You know, wisdom dividing up the chores, learning how to train and discipline our children. For some of you guys, the grandkids when they come over, how do I deal with them? Making schedules, choosing what to eat. Just God's wisdom for that. We have an endless need for wisdom, don't we? I mean, I was thinking about this when I was doing this message this week. It's literally all day long. Literally all day long. And in public, I just read Colossians 4, 5 through 6. We need to be ready so that we can speak to outsiders outside the church. Pray for wisdom to know how to deal with those that are outside the church. At work, we needed to know how to talk to our bosses. You know, I just talked to my brother in Texas. He works in the oil business, and his boss came to him and just flat out told him, you know what, I'm going to be a real jerk. And he used another word, because my boss is a jerk. So just be ready. It's like, okay. So this is my future, right? And so now this guy has just set the table to be really mean to my brother. But my brother's glad to have a job, so he's going to have to learn how to respond to him as a Christian, even though he's going to talk to him very meanly every day, because everything trickles down, doesn't it? We need wisdom just to go to gas stations. You ever been to those gas stations where it says do not enter and you're supposed to go through one way and all these taxis are coming in the wrong way and squeezing in and turning around and everybody's been waiting for like four or five car lengths? You know what? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. One of my favorite gas stations has gas for $3.29. And so that happens there. So we need to know how to respond to this situation, right? God will, in the process of all this, will give us wisdom to win souls so that we can lead people to Christ. If we're doing all these things well and we turn to somebody and go, hey, by the way, do you know how to get to heaven? And they say, no. Is that in my apps or... No, man, Jesus made the way. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but through me. I thought all religions were cool. It depends on what country you live in. No, there's only one solution for sin, and that's the death of Jesus on the cross, because his blood shed paid for all the world's sins, and every nation, every tribe, every tongue will be going to heaven if you believe, right? If you can share that with somebody, if you've been acting wisely with them, correct? Then you have a place to speak. It says in Proverbs 11:30, it says, he who wins souls is wise. So God will give you wisdom to set yourself in place to do that. And he'll also give you wisdom to know what to say. Where does that wisdom come from? From God. And also for ministry. Ask God for wisdom to use your gifts he's given you. This is the last part. How to reach the lost. God has given us wisdom in Mexico step by step to get to this Indian tribe. First, we prayed with our pastor friend down there. We prayed for a man of peace. We met that man, Aaron, who knew a guy up in the tribe. He introduced us to the pastor that lives with the tribe. Then that pastor introduced us to a member of the tribe's husband who's a Christian. We went and prayed at his house. Then they knew how to go to the leaders of the tribe. We went and prayed for them. And then God gave us the wisdom to invite them to a marriage seminar. And she said, yes. We went, what? I've been praying for 2 years just to meet you, and now you actually want to do what we're doing. It's amazing. God's wisdom, right? He will lead you in ministry. God, and one last story I want to tell y'all is I heard on the radio this week, Chuck Swindoll, awesome story about this guy. He wanted to get into ministry, and he was asking for God's wisdom. Going to Bible school, I'm ready to serve, what do you want me to do? And nothing was opening up. So I said, well, I need to make some money to pay for the rent. So he found a bus driver job in Southside Chicago. Anybody need excitement in their life, right? How about a bus driver in Southside Chicago? So every day, these guys would get on, these hardcore guys, inner city guys, would get on without paying and sit in the back. And so they did this day after day. They'd get on without paying their fare and sit in the back. And after about a week of this, he's getting a little annoyed, and he's just trying to do his job. So he yells out the window at a policeman who's right there at the bus, "Hey, can you take care of these guys? They're not paying their fare." So he went in, talked to him, took care of it. Policeman got off the bus. Do you know what's going to happen next? Policeman got off the bus, shut the door. Off he drives with the guys in the back. So what happens next? The guys jump him. They beat him up, knocked his teeth out, banged him around, left him unconscious. Took his money, took his wallet, everything. He's, "Oh, great. God, where are you now?" Well, maybe he didn't make the wisest choice asking the cops to come on and then get off again, right? Only God knows. But here's the good part. So after that, he thought, "Well, I need to get some justice. They took my money. That wasn't right." So he went down and told the police, and they found these guys pretty quickly because he was able to ID them. So they went to court, and let me read this here. It says here, "When Aaron regained consciousness, there was blood all over his shirt. Two teeth were missing, his eyes were swollen, his money was gone, and the bus was empty. As Aaron recuperated at home from his injuries, his resentment against God began to build." It's like, why did this happen? "He was willing to serve God in ministry. He prayed for an opportunity to serve, and this is how God thanks him for his willingness and dedication. On Monday, Aaron pressed charges, and with assistance from the police and eyewitnesses, the gang members were rounded up and arrested. At the hearing, Aaron walked into the courtroom with his attorney, and the thugs glared at him. When the gang members pleaded guilty to the charges, however, Aaron stood up and asked for permission to speak. 'Your Honor, I would like to total up all the days of punishment against these men,' then he continued, 'and I request that you allow me to go to jail in their place.' The judge was stunned. Both attorneys were stunned. But most of all, the gang members looked at him with wide-eyed amazement, like, 'What?' You know. The judge ruled him out of order and told Aaron that this sort of thing had never been done before. 'Oh, yes, it has, Your Honor. Yes, it has. It happened over 19 centuries ago when a man from Galilee paid the penalty that all mankind deserved.' Aaron went on to speak how Jesus died for our sins to bring his love and forgiveness to everyone. The judge denied Aaron's request, but Aaron visited his attackers in jail. Most of them became Christians. And so began the significant ministry he had prayed for in the tough neighborhoods of Southside Chicago." Isn't that cool? So God's wisdom, he didn't use it in the beginning necessarily, but God made what was intended by the devil for harm, turned it and used it for good as God gave him wisdom in the end. So we need to ask God for wisdom. In James 1, 2, and 4, at the beginning of our study on James, says, "If you lack wisdom, ask God. He will give it to you liberally if you'll receive it by faith and don't doubt it. Just believe it and receive it." God's wisdom is amazing. It says in Romans 11, 33, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and unfathomable his ways." Right? If we understand this wisdom, then we're going to seek it. What do you need wisdom for? I want you guys to just break up for a minute and talk to each other in groups of two or three. It's 10 o'clock if your meters are short, but just for a couple of minutes, talk to your neighbor about